You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Oh man, thank you Sal for this little Al Green to start off Minor Talk. It's a terrible day. I mean, come on. La Tech destroying UTEP in this one to close out the regular season. 76-58 was the finish. Let's just open up the phone lines right away. 915-505-6009. It's a full house here. Anna River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. We got Sal Montes across the glass. We've got Zay Galindo in the building. We've got George Guajardo in the building. Alberto Reta is covering some UTEP women's basketball. I feel like the dust is like now settled, Sal. The dust is now in my lungs, like out of this entire week here in El Paso. It was gross, windy, today a little rain. I think it's perfect for all this mess that we've seen from UTEP men's basketball. Like, I feel terrible right now. I mean, I have like all these allergies.
Congestion,
I should say.
And stuff.
Congestion. Yeah. My face is puffy. Eyes are itchy. It's awful over here, man. And it's awful for UTEP basketball. I think going into the CUSA tournament as an eighth seed, an utter disappointment, finish to the regular season. You could blame the locker room. You could blame certain players. You could blame the coaching staff. You could blame the institution, whatever. The bottom line is this team lost seven in a row, and this team doesn't lose seven straight games in basketball. This program really doesn't. This hasn't happened since the 2016-17 season. And by the way, that was a non-conference play, and it dragged into conference play. Zay pointed this out on Twitter and X. First time since the early 2000s that the Miners go on a losing streak like this in conference play. So, Sal, that's where we start things off. Just an utter disappointment of a game, and the Miners just slugging into the CUSA tournament.
Yeah, it's 2 months ago the season started. UTEP started out hot, and fast forward up to today, and you look back about a month ago, that was pretty much their last win. It was two of them, the Aggies and Florida International, respectively. But yeah, man, it's been a tough stretch for this team these last 4 weeks or so. I don't even know what the time span is, but it has not been pretty at all. And in a time where you want to be playing your best basketball, we say it all the time, if you could, you know, get hot the end of the season like they did last year, you can have a chance in the tournament. And theoretically, I guess they do, but realistically, you just don't feel too good about it.
Oh, I'm out. I'm completely out on this team. I will eat all my words. I will throw my tattoo bed out there. I will say I'm wrong, admit it. I'm totally out on this team. Totally out. I'm ready to skip to next year. You know, I'm on to, like, some of those other fans out there that were saying, on to football season. I am completely out. I'm out on this group. There's something wrong with the locker room. They've been trying to hit the exit button on this season for a while now. I guess I wanted to believe that they were destined for something a little bit better. And maybe they beat Sam Houston in the 8-9 matchup on Tuesday. And maybe they go up against Liberty and give them a good fight. But I don't see them winning that one on Wednesday. I could see them winning the first round on Tuesday. And I think that's about it. I think they're done when it comes to Wednesday. And if they somehow make it to the semifinals, having to play the likes of New Mexico State or Kennesaw State after losing seven straight the way that they did, coming up to the Huntsville, Alabama Conference USA Championship Tournament. I just don't see it. Zay, I don't see this at all. I mean, I might have to eat my words when it's all said and done, but I'm just completely out on this team.
Yeah, you know, it's March, so I guess never say never, but the way this team has played last seven games, and I guess the last 10 games, honestly, ever since the New Mexico State loss, right? It's kind of been a bumpy up and down ride, and I don't see how anybody could put money on this team to go on such a run when, I mean, they've lost seven straight games in conference play. That's unheard of for UTEP. That doesn't happen. And even as bad as this program has been these past couple of years, it's never been this, you know, I think this is the lowest this program has been, just speaking from the expectations people had coming into the season.
Yes.
And the fact that they were 15-5. some people had UTEP winning this conference midway through, you know, the regular season. So I think this is the lowest point this program has been, and it's going to be tough to get it back up.
Yeah, let's piece it back together, George, because what I think what Zay's trying to say here is for the Miners, with all that expectation that you had, the 1033 shirts, all the hype, all the excitement going into this year, and then you get a 15-5 start, so the expectations are through the roof. They continuously talked about a Conference USA championship. You know, even before non-conference, or I should say during non-conference, they were talking about a regular season championship. So that's why this feels like such a letdown when it's all said and done.
Yeah, huge, right? The 1033, I'll highlight that. That ended up being a hollow rallying cry that I think that none of them and the team actually bought into this year. You go, yeah, to that New Mexico State game. That was the first real crack, right, in the hole. And then I think losing to Western Kentucky the first time out, right? That was a team that struggles to be efficient offensively. And the Miners uncorked them and let them shoot over 50% in that game. And that was the team that knocked you out, the team that put you, that gave you that 1033 rallying cry, right? And I think that once that happened, it was just all down the drain from there, and we've seen it now. It's 7 straight L's.
Yeah, and that's exactly the case. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Let's open up the phone lines now here on the program. Louisiana Tech dominates UTEP 76-58. That was the finish. Miners have lost 7 in a row. You want to talk about it with us? Let's do it, 915-505-6009. We've got storylines to talk about, but we want to get to phone calls first, and then we'll go to Twitter. Twitter and X is going crazy, at 600 ESPN El Paso. Use the hashtag MinerTalk, or chat with us at our 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Kurt is up first with us. Kurt, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're doing all right. Kurt, what's up with you, man?
Okay, well, I'll say it all real, I guess, much as I can. From start to finish, they were not locked in. 12 three-pointers going against them on the perimeter. No defense. It's just a one-on-one play on offensively. The coach said on the post-game show, so it's on him, and if the locker room's lost, something's going on there. These guys have just gone downhill for the last whole month of February, heading into March, and I don't see it getting better on Tuesday. So this team is done, and then things got to be addressed after the season, in my opinion. Well, what do y'all think about that?
You know, I'll say this, Kurt. The defense has been the biggest letdown to me. Like, the fact that they're this bad defensively. Look, I'm just so shocked. Like, I didn't think this team would be this bad. I mean, look, 12 of 17 from the perimeter. Zay, I'll throw it back to you. You were worried about this Liberty squad going into the CUSA tournament. You maintained about a month ago that this was the best team. They're going to win this, they won the regular season for Conference USA. But if you look at how bad UTEP's perimeter defense has been over the last month, it's the 7th straight game also where the Miners have allowed more than 70 points. That's my point. It proves my point. I don't see this team going on a run. I don't see this team winning.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, defensively, a lot of it is, and I'm going to sound maybe like, I don't want to say an old head, but nobody's like hustling, right? Nobody's getting to that next man, rotating in time. Everyone's just a step behind, kind of playing it nonchalantly, and they're giving up a lot of open threes, right? And that's bound to happen with the way that UTEP plays defense. I think, you know, everybody who watches UTEP knows that they give up open threes a lot because they blitz the ball handler, and that leaves a man wide open. You're kind of banking on him missing it or banking on that pass being kind of arid and he can't shoot it. But, I mean, nobody's getting to that open man fast enough. No one really wants it. Those loose balls are another thing. I mean, you see it. These 50-50 balls, there's never UTEP is hardly ever getting those. So it's just disappointing, like you said, how bad this defense has been. I mean, that's their calling card. They're a defensive-minded team, and they've, you know, just haven't shown up on that end of the floor at all these past couple of games.
Sal, Coach Golding was very selective with his words after the game when talking about certain players he liked and then other players who, I don't know what they're, like, questioning, or maybe there's something actually going on in the locker room or something like that, but you could just read the stats right now. You know,
yeah.
Ahmad Bynum, 0 minutes in the second half. Kevin Kalu, 3 minutes in the second half right there. So it's your, you know, they didn't play a lot of their starters in the second half at all.
Yeah, I think it's part of it. hey, I mean, we got to look because there's no concrete evidence on anything, right? So you got to look at it all kinds of ways. Maybe, hey, this game's already a wash. Try and get some other guys some playing time with all due respect, the more important game coming up next week.
Very true.
A little bit of a cop out, in my opinion, when, you know, your mantra is, you know, you hustle, give 110%, all that good stuff. Didn't see it today, but no, you're right. And as far as, you know, mentioning names in the post game, it's not so much about not mentioning. Not mentioning who you don't want to give props to in the likes of that. And that's where you kind of, you know, pick up some clues. But you hear it when he mentions hustle and effort and, you know, so-and-so had a good game, like Terrell and, you know, some other guards. And then you don't really hear other names. And that's what leads you to believe those things.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one, Sal. I'd also say, you know, in our telephone number now in 5505-6009, you know, I'd also say for the Miners, you know, during this final stretch or whatever we've seen from this team, you know, off the floor or inside the locker room or whatever, they've always maintained that they're quote unquote together. I think, you know, Golding said it at the end of the game, shortening the bench, shortening the rotation. Maybe that's the solution, George. Maybe just kind of like limiting some of those minutes from certain guys and really focusing on a core six or seven guys come on, you know, when it comes to the final stretch of CUSA play.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? You know, some callers called in and said, we got to shorten this bench. And to a degree, we agreed with them, right? And we said that there's some rotations. And this has been a thing with Golding all year, though, right? With the kind of the bench coaching and the bizarre lineups and, you know, pulling guys out when they start getting hot and not putting guys in when you need baskets. And so, but yeah, it's time to just shorten it. I said that a couple weeks ago when this first came up. I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I think shortening it will help, and maybe you send the right message here, but it might be hollow, just like a few of the other things that we've talked about so far.
All right, let's keep it going. 915-505-6009. Brian is next with us. Brian, good afternoon. What's going on?
Hey, y'all. Usually I would point something to blame to, like I say, coaching or the players themselves, but really it's just everything at this point. Considering that we've gone on the 7-game losing streak, I don't know what other excuses we can give to this team. It sure does seem like the first round exit is coming, but we can be hopeful in some regard. But based on what we've seen, I don't know how far we're going to make it at this point. You're right, Adrian. We can't be riding the trend anymore. And at this rate, you're going to see probably a lot of players transfer out and maybe even Golding's exit at the end of the year. It's not looking good, but as Miner fans, we can be hopeful, I guess, that something goes well. But I'm not buying into it this time around.
All right. I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Let's go to Twitter next. A lot of comments to get to. Let's talk facts only. Not even watching, and I can tell you Coach Joe Golding has just completely lost his team. Nelly Urcarte, win or lose, I always support the Miners, but it's time for a new coach. This is from Trey Politz. Adrian, I love Miner Talk. Seriously, ain't no way they bring Golding back, right? Miner Talk, number one. Chris, fire Golding in center. This is from Leo_Miner Fan. I honestly can't see them winning and a run in the CUSA tournament. Even if they do, I highly doubt they will win it. It's not up to me to believe they can. They've got to believe they can and do it. All in all, it's a game, and I wish these kids and coaches all the best. Hashtag Miner Talk. That's coming in from Leo. This is coming in from David Corral Jr. Forgo the tourney and save the athletic department some time and money. This team is a pitiful shell of what it could have been. Oh, man, that's a tough one, too. Matthew Castro, based on the postgame and other reasons, it's obvious that Golding has something against Bynum. He indirectly but obviously threw him under the bus several times this season in the postgame. Keep it in the locker room, coach. No wonder you lost the team. Here's a little pushback, right? I just want to hold a little accountability on players, Sal. I know that so much is said on the coaching side of things, but let's say there is issues in the locker room, which there has been under some of the Golding years. There has been guys who've behind the scenes have kind of acted out in the locker room and have kind of divided the team or have separated the team a little bit. So if they've suspended him at points this year, if there's times where he's missed practice or something like that, as a player, you also have to take some accountability too. So I'm not just trying to single out Bynum here. I'm just trying to say that if there were some players out there who are quote unquote dividing the team or hurting the team's locker room atmosphere, that's hurtful as well.
No, it definitely is, especially when in order to achieve that higher goal, everybody has to be bought in. And if there's some point of friction or a point of not being bought in by somebody, it can easily be sensed out. And in the general sense too, I think when it comes to college athletics, and we'll stick with football or basketball right here just for the example, but there's always that saying like, yeah, it's just young kids trying to go out there and compete. But then on the other side, it's kind of like, no, these are young men who you want to turn into something spectacular, whether it be at the next level in what they're doing or through their degree. So there's that fine line right there. And at this point, it can't be kids, man. It has to be men who are bought in, for the greater good of the team.
Zay, are we too much of are we looking at this the wrong way? Is this more of a player management type of college basketball or anything period, like the world of sports right now? And was this just not the right fit? Or, because they've alluded to it, just like Matthew Castro said, let's not shy away from it. Golding's alluded to it. There's been suspensions or whatever. He was away from the team, whatever you want to call it. But conduct that has seemed to be detrimental to the team, even though they don't address it that way.
Yeah, in college basketball, you get all types of personalities, right? And Ahmad Bynum comes from the JUCO level. I think at one point he was at DePaul. We don't know what happened there. I mean,
right.
There's questions surrounding, college basketball players. And, today, Bynum, 11 minutes, 1 of 8, 0 of 6. Even if he was, an amazing teammate this and the third, I don't think 1 of 8, 0 of 6 in 11 minutes is deserving of playing any minutes in the second half, right? He played bad, just overall bad. Not to mention, he had 3 turnovers, and he's already a liability defensively. So I know his knockdown shooting is always a threat on the court. So yeah, maybe he should have gotten some minutes, but I don't know. This whole Ahmad Bynum situation, it's confusing, right? We have no real idea what's going on behind the scenes, and maybe we never will, right?
Yeah,
maybe we never will.
It's true. And maybe that's it. I mean, as far as Bynum goes, because he still has one more year of eligibility. If he does decide to come back at UTEP, it'd be interesting to see how that relationship mends or how that relationship continues. But if he's not, another team will look at him as this sharpshooting guy. Maybe he'll stick to a similar role and come off the bench. He's right now 43% from beyond the arc. But at one point earlier this year, he was shooting lights out. He was closer to 60% from 3-point range. So he's even dropped off in terms of his production, Sal.
And to that point as well, I mean, just the amount of time, right, with eligibility that's left, I mean, could be a high profile target. Anybody who's a junior in college athletics could be looked at as a kind of like a short term investment, and don't really want to say that too much. I don't want to equate somebody's worth as a person to worth athletically, so to speak, but when it comes to this eligibility thing, all across the board, it's pretty much a short term investment, not only for the teams that get these players, but those players as well. Maybe they want to go somewhere else the next year after that. So just something to look at.
Yeah, it's a good point too, Sal. 915-505-6009. Casey's next with us. Let's keep the phones moving. 915-505-6009. Casey, good afternoon. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I live out of Marcus. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy the show. I usually listen on the podcast. So anyway, thanks for everything you do. I love it.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the game today, so I'm just catching up with what went down. It sounded like it was the low point. And I was looking at the box score, no starter was in double figures. It just seems like, it definitely seems like he's lost the team over the last several weeks. And I heard you guys talking about was shorting the bench going into the conference tournament. Who would the rotation be, in your opinion, if he does that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Casey. I was going to address that at one point, and I think it's a great question to kind of explore right now and maybe go kind of around the room. So Otis Frazier III, we heard it was a calf injury for him. And by the way, Casey, I appreciate your phone call. Wait, real quick, to go back to you real quick, Casey, any last thoughts before we go with this rotation and let you off the hook?
Well, I just got to kind of go off the top of my head. I actually went back home to El Paso and went to the Liberty game, which was like, you know, we kind of dominated the game for like 34 minutes and then just like gave it away at the end. Bad defense. They got hot. We left the guys open. And it seems like so many of these losses down the stretch have been, you know, we play well for 33, 34 minutes and then just blow the game. And I just feel like that has to come down to either just coaching or discipline or whatever, because we've had a few bad losses in the stretch, but for the most part, they've been these different games, overtime games, you know, one or two possession games. Even the other night, Sam Houston, I think we led by 8 or 9 in the second half, and they're just like collapsing. And I don't quite know what to make of it, because I always thought of goalies teams playing hard, but it just feels like they've just fallen off a cliff here in the last, you know, really ever since Bynum got suspended for the New Mexico State game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Casey, I'll also say this, and I appreciate your phone call, man. I'll say this, when it comes to this team, the losing in close games stuff, that to me is a knock all around. Like, you got to be a killer on the floor to close out that game, and on the flip side, you got to coach the game to close out that game in a positive fashion, especially when you're on a losing streak like this. Like, I think that's where I think some of the frustration boils over, is when you can't close out some of these games where you feel like you have it. You feel like you have it in the bag. So thank you for your phone call, Casey. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. All right, guys, I'll toss it over to you all. I'll just keep mics hot. You guys tell me, must play or no, okay? So let's try to make this a 7-man rotation, okay?
All right.
For the CUSA tournament. I think this is going to be harder than you think, okay? Because you're going to have to leave some players out, and it's not just going to be Baylor Hep, okay? Otis Frazier III, I say must play if he's healthy.
Must.
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 Yeah, okay. He's in the must rotation. Kevin Kalou, must for me.
Yes, must.
Must.
Must for me and for my fantasy team.
All right, here's where we get a little hard. This is where it gets a little difficult. Corey Camper Jr., must? I'm going to say must.
I agree, must.
Must.
Yes.
Okay. Then let's go David Terrell Jr. Must for me. So we got 4 right here, I think.
I'm with you, must.
Yeah, must.
Yeah.
Everybody good. Okay, so we got 4, okay? So that means 3 more. 3 more players. You guys got to think about it, all right? So I'm going to go down the list a little bit. Elijah Jones.
Must.
Wow. Yes. George with the must.
No hezzy. He's the only one that's carried his, like, played hard all year.
Sal.
You know what? I'll say must, too.
Wow.
And the reason why is over these last couple of games, really these last 4 weeks or so, despite the losing, don't get me wrong, he's the only one I see go out there and grab a rebound with authority.
Yep.
Zay, was that convincing enough for you?
Yeah, I mean, wow. 3 blocks today, 5 points, 6 rebounds. I know he didn't knock down any threes today, but I mean, last game he was knocking them down, so.
You guys realize that's 5. Yeah. I'm going to say must.
Yeah.
Off the bench, must for me, for Spark, Elijah Jones. I'm just saying wow because, you know, it's gotten to this point. He's part of that shorter rotation if they were to go that way. All right, let's go to some different players. Trey Horton, for me, no.
Nope.
No.
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 Okay. And no knock, no true knock to Trey Horton. I mean, right. I like him as a player. No Baylor Hebb. I don't think that's a big surprise.
I agree.
Everybody good with that?
Yes.
Devin Barnes, here we go. Yes or no? I'm going to go with a no. I'm going to say you're going to have to be selective with some of these guys. Is this the no, guys?
No. No for me.
I don't know.
Because you're going to have to go Barnes or Bynum, right?
Yeah, at this point.
You're probably going to have to go Barnes or Bynum to close this out.
I mean, Barnes is a guy, he'll get you 10 points no matter what, right? So that's 10 points you make up versus Bynum. It's a
feast or famine, right?
It's a coin flip. So I guess I'd say no because it's March and you're already this bad. You have to take a risk. So, yeah, I'm going to say no.
Sal, where are we going? This is tough, right? You're basically saying Bynum or Barnes.
We're still on Barnes, right?
Yes.
I'll say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Sal says no. Bynum, let's go around. I'm going to go with yes. And I don't think that's the right move. I think actually, if based on everything they're saying, I think that, but like what Zay's saying right there, maybe you just get hot. And I think that's what UTEP needs. They need one of these guys to get hot, hit 15 plus in a game in order for them to go and win some of these games in the tournament. So I'd go buying them. And I don't know if that sounds like an unfortunate thing right there, but I'd go buying them.
And is that six or seven?
That's six. Six. That's six. Yeah.
I agree with you, Adrian. I think the ceiling is still too high for Bynum. Like, this guy can go off for 20 if he just locks in.
Sal, what do you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we've got Frazier, Kalu, Camper, Terrell, Bynum, Jones. Okay, so that's six right there. Who's the seventh? Is it Hamilton or is it Barnes? We could revisit the Barnes discussion because we were split on the Barnes. Me and Sal both said no. Zay and George. Well, George, did you say no on that one? Did you say
I
no
said no,
Barnes?
Devin Barnes. You're forgetting somebody, KJ Thomas. That's who I'm putting over.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yes, KJ over Derek Hamilton.
Wait, so this is I'm sorry, I'm tuned out. Did we not say Otis?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we said Otis. Okay, we started with
him. Sure. I had to make sure.
Okay, Otis, Kevin, Corey, David, Ahmad Bynum, and then Elijah Jones. So we've picked six right now that we're consensus on.
Yes.
The two iffy ones are Devin Barnes, KJ Thomas, Derek Hamilton. No one is in the Derek Hamilton. I feel like I'm kind of in.
No.
I liked his defense today. Am I crazy, Zay?
I feel like one game, like, it depends on who you're matched up with, right? Yeah. In one game, you can have a seven-man and rotation, and Derek Hamilton comes off the bench, and then another game, you have a seven-man rotation, and the way that the game is going, it's more of a Devon Barnes type of day, right? I don't see why you can't flip-flop both of those, but I guess if we're just going to go with the seven themselves, I'll go with Devon Barnes.
Okay. Sal, what do you feel?
Oh, man.
I don't feel good about anything.
I like what Zay said because he's right. It's all about the matchup. How is the game flowing as well? Is it a game where you got to pack the paint? Or is it a game where you got to run and gun and keep up beyond the arc? But just based off of the fact that the lineup is already so guard heavy and guys can do multiple things, one through three at least with the guards, I'm going to stick with Hamilton there. Because if there's foul trouble with one of your bigs, you got to be able to have somebody come in and alleviate some of that tension with the fouls. However, we've seen it where that even happens and then foul trouble for the guy who even comes in. So all that to say, I'll just I got Hamilton as number seven.
All right, let me throw a different rotation at you guys. Seven man again, okay? And you all, real quick, we'll go speedy around the room if you like this or not or don't like this, okay? So hear me out. Otis Frazier III, Kevin Kalu, Corey Camper Jr., David Terrell Jr., and you have Devin Barnes starting. Those are your starters right there. Off the bench, only Elijah Jones and Derek Hamilton. So no Ahmad Bynum in this case, and that's the rotation. Give me your thoughts.
Now you've got all three bigs. I guess I like it, but that's we've seen that this year, right? We've seen that kind of rotation.
No, but I'm saying that's it. You're not getting anybody else. So that's it. I'm saying that's the seven
that's
man
tough.
Right there. So George is like not really in.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'm not in.
Sal, what do you think?
No, I'm not in. Just because I think you got to have Bynum on there. I know he didn't have the best shooting night tonight, but he's a guy who could get it going and has gotten it going for the team. You know, at various points, we don't have a crystal ball to see exactly what's going to happen. But in this day and age of three-point shooting being the key for just about every team to succeed, you got to have your best three-point shooter out there, at least getting some minutes. So, yeah, I got to stick with Bynum.
I think that, you know, both Bynum and Hamilton, they both provide kind of the same things in a sense, right? Hamilton is a spark off the bench. He'll get you the 6 points in you know a small amount of time, and then of course Ahmad, we know if he gets hot he can knock down a couple threes, and I do think they're both defensive liabilities, right? They're both kind of, you know, when they're on the court, I'm thinking, okay, Ahmad's gonna get blown by, or Ahmad's gonna miss his assignment, or you know, Hamilton's gonna get a foul, he's gonna be too far back. I just think at that point, I'm going with the guy with the higher ceiling, and that's Ahmad.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair. The three of you did not like that seven-man rotation. We did talk about the seven-man rotation we did like, so I think we did a good job there, guys, just kind of talking through the different ones. Let's go over to a couple other tweets here on the program, 915-505-6009. This is coming in from Matthew Castro. Remember those times when toward the end of football season we'd be saying, we're looking forward to basketball season. We used to say, at least we're a basketball school, at David Isaac. This is coming in from Matthew Castro. How does NMSU, with all the legal controversies, the turmoil, the canceled season, the less NIL money, the lower revenue, compete for gutting a basketball program, or completely gutting of a basketball program, still fare better than UTEP athletics in both basketball and football in recent years? Is Jim Center not completely embarrassed? Ugh. Zay, your thoughts on the comparisons?
You know, it's tough, right? It's tough. UTEP at one point was 15-5, and I just, this season is falling apart, so we'll see. I don't think, I'm not going to say anything until this season is completely over, because you never know. It's March. You never know.
Yeah, Steve Escajeda with a great stat. By the way, Steve is always coming in with the great stats, so love these from Stevie. He says, for some reason, the Miners have stopped playing team basketball on both sides of the court. Last two games, they've combined for 10 assists and 26 turnovers.
Wow.
10 assists and assists and 26 turnovers, Sal.
Oh, man, that's not a recipe for success at all. And also, too, Adrian, it's completely opposite from who this team was earlier on in the year. I'm not saying they had Newman numbers when it comes to passing, but they were respective with the basketball. You know, you could respect them at least, and they wouldn't be turning it over here and there. And if they were, they could offset that by forcing a lot of turnovers. So they've just completely, gone astray from what they do best, man.
Totally agree. Let's go back to the phones, but before we do, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Streaming worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
Adriel is next with us, 915-505-6009. Adriel, what's going on? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Watching the game, another frustrating loss again, but I want to talk about you guys talking about the lineups and seven deep. I'm cool with even going eight deep. You know, I like putting Hamilton in there as well because, you know, he is your low post scorer. I know Kalu can score too, but Hamilton is your scorer, and if we somehow win, you play Liberty, there's nobody on Liberty that could stop Hamilton. But I know when you play 10 guys, I still don't see it as bad because, you know, they don't have to play the whole game like how Frazier and Terrell and Camper do. But when those guys get tired, they can go in, give them 1 or 2 minutes. And then when those guys are fresh, they can go back in. It's just, I think the problem is Thomas, Horton, Hebb, they play a long time and sometimes they play together and it's kind of, it just doesn't work at times.
That's fair. I mean, I'd also say that the energy, we've heard this too, man, that the energy that's exerted defensively, it's just hard to keep up for a full game. That's why when he said, you know, Golding was the one who came up with the idea of shortening up the lineup. That's why we brought up this discussion in the first place. I mean, post-game he was saying that. I don't know if that's a personnel issue or if that's actually an issue like you're saying right now of, just trying to get the most out of your players. I just say that it's going to be hard to do that night in, night out. I think you can only kind of do this the first night, maybe Tuesday. You're going to have to play 10 guys like you mentioned, Adriel, on Wednesday for sure, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I also wish that, you know, at first, the start of the season, the defense was good. I just do wish that he would change it up a bit. These teams have already figured out UTEP's defense, and that's why it came in and came out. Like today, Al Green was wide open for three. Sam Houston, Wilkerson was wide open for three. They figured it out, and, like, we don't change it up at all. Sometimes go to 2-3, go to a 3-2, just switch it up so the offense, at least, they don't know what's coming yet.
You know, it's a good point, man, and I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for winning. I'll say this. They adjusted at one point in the second half, Sal, but it was out of desperation, and they went full-court press.
Yeah. I mean – also, too, is it kind of prepping for the Conference USA tournament when in conference tournament action, you see a lot of press from just about every team.
They're kind of running scenarios.
Exactly. So I know we're talking about like seven-man rotation or, you know, potential seven-man or eight-man. And I know there was a lot more players that played like that today or played than that today. But the game was so out of reach early on. It was kind of cashing it in and letting guys get more minutes than they normally do. That's not to say Heb, you know, is out there. Because that's the case. We've seen him get a lot of minutes, even when it's a close game. But, nah, man, guys were getting run today regardless.
Pence, Trevor, I don't think that I've ever seen a bigger collapse. This year we've had high hopes and good experience athletic team. We had a great start, the best in 14 years. Then I noticed Coach had gotten his starters right. He was terrible coaching out of timeouts. He wouldn't call timeouts, etc. This is coming in from Trevor Johnson. Golding had something against Bynum. What a delusional take. See Bynum's career track record. It's a good point. I mean, we talked about earlier, he was off the DePaul team, went the JUCO route, you know, Trinity Valley Junior College, and now is over here at UTEP. So there you go. Grant Paul, I hope Joe Golding does the honorable thing and moves on, and it'll be the best for everyone. 915 Miners Den, EPTX sports fan. These guys are also making money. Oh, no. I don't like this one. Okay. I'll read it, but I don't like this one. These guys are also making more money than 80% of the El Pasoans to play basketball, and in addition to getting their education and housing paid for. So, yes, even though they're young, you can hold them accountable. That's not the point. That's not the point that we were trying to say. I'm not in that camp whatsoever.
If that's the case, then more money has to go into the school, right? Because money is a driving factor now. More money has to go into the collectives to pay guys more money. And guess what? As that price starts to rise and you know, collections start to increase the minimum amount, so to speak, there's more money that has to be paid and more money that has to be donated to those collections. So, I mean, oh, man, this... Even if it were no money, these guys are getting their scholarships paid. They got to do X, Y, Z. Come on. It's the same argument if we go back 15 years.
I hate that. I hate that so much, Zay. I hate that comment.
Yeah, and I'll, you know, pretty confidently say I don't think they make more money than 80% of El Pasoans.
And even if he's saying like 80% of El Pasoans who play basketball, it's like ridiculous too. Like, come on. I mean, what are you trying to say?
This is college basketball, man. I mean, you want to use the scholarship thing, go ahead. No. I think it is fair to criticize these players, right? Because at the end of the day, this is college basketball. This is just how it goes. You're going to criticize anyone when they've lost seven straight. But to use that as the reason, no. This is college basketball. You can criticize anybody in college basketball.
It's sports, right? It's fair to criticize things in sports, but to start throwing the dollar signs out there and start throwing the scholarships and all of that, like, it's just, come on, man. Housing pay.
You know what? No, I love this. I love this because when it comes to collectives, I don't even know what the numbers are for other mid-majors that are atop mid-majors.
Yeah.
But if we're going to go based on a team should be as good as the money that's put into, I don't know how high in the ranks of exclusive mid-majors or power mid-majors UTEP would even be.
No, not even close. They'd probably be at the bottom of that list.
Exactly.
They probably and right now, I mean, full transparency, at least from what we've gathered from our friends from other teams at Conference USA, we're hearing UTEP's right in the middle for their NIL. So if they're right in the middle for NIL in Conference USA for what they have for their collective for men's basketball, then they go to the Mountain West and they're what, near the bottom or maybe in the middle? Okay, let's be a little nice. Because it's a newer Mountain West. Maybe they're in the middle of the Mountain West when it's all said and done, transitioning over there in a couple years. They're still not atop the likes of New Mexico, who one player alone is making more than double of UTEP's NIL collective. That's Donovan Dent, who makes over $1 million. So it's like, you know, when you talk about UTEP and you just start playing the comparison game, don't say stuff like this when it comes to NIL, like, oh, you know, it's these guys make a lot of money, they get a lot of houses. They get all this stuff. That's true. That's all true. But at the same time, you know, those fans can't also be the same fans who say, well, Kennesaw State, UTEP's losing to the Kennesaw States of the world and the Jacksonville States of the world. You know what those schools are doing? They're paying their players just like UTEP's doing. So it's like, come on. Like, you can't have both arguments. It just doesn't work. Now, if you want to argue that you're not getting what the worth and the value of that, then that's a whole different argument. And that's where it gets kind of messy. sexy in college athletics, Zay, because you're doing NIL not for assurance. It's not one of those things like, I'm going to pay you to do this job, and if you don't do this job, if you don't exceed at this job, you're not getting the money. It's an agreement you make within the school, the coaching staff, whatever, and the name, image, likeness deal, and it's something that you commit to based on the player and kind of that experience.
Yeah, I think NIL as a whole, it's the wild, wild west, right? We saw plenty of times, and it's a different sport, but in college football, right, there was a couple of stories that came out, right, where schools promised a certain sum of money, they didn't end up paying it, and so on and so forth. So at the end of the day, I think that, like I said earlier, you can criticize. It's sports, like you said, it's sports. They're going to get criticized no matter what. I just don't like the idea that, you know, you can do it because they're making more money. No, people criticized UTEP way before this.
Yeah.
They criticize players now. I think it's acceptable. And, you know, the money thing, honestly, I don't know if it was going on at UTEP, but way before this, college players have been being paid way before
this. Of course.
I mean, it's not new, right? So
it wasn't even new before the NIL. Sal, come on. Arturo Ormond coached Bryson Williams in AAU, and he was brought over when Rodney Terry got the job because they got Bryson Williams. Like, come on. Let's not play the game of they haven't been treated, you know, nicely, or the best players don't get treated more favorably than everybody else. Like, you move mountains for certain players, and it hasn't just been now. It's been over the years, you know?
Yeah, it's been like that all over. I mean, we can even look at some players' sons getting scholarships on teams where they had no business being there. That's one example. There's so many out there, but nah, man, that's crazy.
Okay, El Paso, Texas Western at UTEP, Leo _ Miners fan. I honestly can't see UTEP. Oh, I already read this one. This is Tristan Pence, okay? This is him from earlier today. Joe Golding does not deserve to coach another game for UTEP. I personally would not oppose having an assistant coach take over as head coach for the Conference USA tournament. It gives UTEP an extra week to start accepting applications. Tristan Pence also said, in my nearly 50 years of watching UTEP men's basketball, I've never seen a season end with 7 straight losses. Coach Joe Golding has brought an unprecedented failure to UTEP. It's time for Jim Center to take the kids' gloves off and end Golding's tenure. Hashtag minor talk. I'm laughing because Tristan Pence is using Golding's words that he said against him. So Sal, he was saying that he took the kids' gloves off before this game against Louisiana Tech, and they had a tremendous day of practice on Friday.
Yeah, and that's what it was alluding to. Like, hey, there's going to be no holds barred, so to speak, defensively. Didn't really see that today.
Oh.
You know what I mean? All these things that were mentioned, like, it's saying the same thing, just in a different phrase. It's another way of saying it's do or die now.
Okay.
Okay? Kind of like, we got to go down a road we haven't gone down before. You know, different things like that. That's all it is.
Okay, to the straw man that I was arguing against, I'm sorry, 915 Minor Den. He clarified and gave more context to his original tweet, and I appreciate it. I didn't mean by saying it bad about them getting paid. I think they should be making more money so that we could get better players. I meant it more to your comment about individual players should being called out. So I totally get what he's saying right now. So, you know, as far as now, I get it. All right. So 915 Minor Den, your excuse. I apologize. I was jumping on, piling on a point, and I appreciate it. I read it wrong there. So that's on me. But Hispanic Caucasian Panic sends us this one. Season is unofficially over. This is coming in on Twitter next from El Paso Visuals Deportivos. Do yourself a favor and go watch the final seconds of the last game and what Bynum does or doesn't do when the ball goes out of bounds. Not a good look for him, but to be fair, he has a legit gripe. How is one of the best three-point shooters in the country not in the game? Other players see that at 600 ESPN El Paso. I didn't watch, or I don't know what you're talking about there, El Paso Visuals. I'll go watch that right there. It wouldn't be a good look. Now, the gripe of like being the one of the best three-point shooters and all that, I'll say this. I mean, as of right now, Zay, Ahmad Bynum's still a top 75 three-point shooter. So you talk value in a potential like offseason, his value will be through the roof just because of that number, because of the percentage.
Yeah, and that's valid, right? Because you see, if a guy can do it, you're going to take that shot. But, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I said hopefully it doesn't end up like a Jarrell Satterfield situation where he kind of loses at the end, and it still looks good. It looks good because he was so good at one point in the season, but I mean, he's a volume shooter, right? It depends on the day, depends on the gym, depends on the lighting. It just depends, and you need consistency in this day and age. I'd rather have a guy who's shooting 40% throughout the whole year than a guy who's shooting 40%, but, you know, half of the year he was, you know, on fire, other half he was cold. I mean, I don't want that.
True.
I totally understand what you're saying there, and that's totally true. 915 Minor Den closes it out by saying, I don't care what they make. This was in response to your conversation on whether players should be called out and criticized. Obviously, we shouldn't ever be ugly or tear somebody down personally. Totally agree with there, 915 Minor Den. I appreciate you in a big way. This is coming in, and I apologize on twisting your words. I used your words, twisted up a bit, and made a point. I think the point still holds true, and I think you would agree on that, but I totally missed what you were saying, so I apologize. But I get what you're saying right now. This is coming in from Daniel at the Bridge Under. I don't know if the athletic department cares enough, but they haven't been good at all since the last time they went to the NCAA tournament in 2010. Will there ever be any real change? I disagree and say that there's been some good seasons. But I'd say, you know, as far as quote-unquote collapses or quote-unquote disappointing finishes, you look at the season, Sal, the Diamond Head Classic right there, where the Miners were so good with Rodney Terry. They go to Hawaii, and the whole season kind of unravels. That's Jordan Lathan, Nigel Hawkins, Bryson Williams type of team. They had guys like Daryl Edwards on that squad as well, and just some really talented players. Don't forget, I mean, of course, Sule Boom was on that team as well, but that team kind of fell apart by the end of the year. That was an example of an unraveling kind of year. And then the trip to the Bahamas when, you know, Tim Floyd had that squad and they go off to the Bahamas. They, you know, who knows what happened during that team, but they had so much good talent on that squad as well and just weren't the same. The two differences, Sal, both of those were pretty much non-conference play. I mean,
yeah,
the unraveling for UTEP this year came during conference play right after that January 25th game where they beat Kennesaw. They just never really were the same.
Yeah, they started out 2-0 in conference play this year. It was a battle for first place against New Mexico State with a sold-out Haskins Center. You know, all of the hype was there, and I think that was kind of the turning point. Yeah, they get Kennesaw at home, but that's really their last game where they looked good against one of the tougher teams. They did beat the Aggies. I'll give them that. They beat the Aggies over at the Pan Am Center, so respect there. But, I mean, even then, too, I will say what I said about the Kennesaw game. That was really the last time you got to see a glimmer of hope for this team. I'm not going to count the wins against the Florida International. I'm not even going to count the wins against the three non-Division I teams. If we look at it, they're really 500 if you want to remove those games, 14-14. So this one's a lot more disappointing because the promise was showed a lot longer than those other seasons. But real quick, those other teams, that's the all overseas team, if we're being honest. That those were amazing players.
and then I'd also say, to your point, Sal, last year was the 13-15 season, so somehow it feels more disappointing to close out this year's season compared to last year. This is coming in from delusional Cade McConnell fan. He's got a burner, Zay. I don't know if you knew that one. That losing streak makes things bad, but the coaching decisions have made it seem like guys have given up on Golding himself. I would love for the team to move on in the tournament, but I doubt it'll come. The cryptic tweets that I've been seeing are definitely not helping. What are the cryptic tweets? Because I've seen, I saw a couple, but anybody see any of these tweets so far?
Yeah, there was one that said, everybody's going to be surprised when the news comes out. That was pretty much verbatim. I forgot who tweeted it, but I'll look into it as far as who tweeted it. But that's,
I don't know
what I saw.
I don't know what the cryptic. I saw some tweets from family members and stuff like that. I didn't see anything else. But I saw like cryptic tweets from family members, talking about how, I guess, far this team has fallen so up to this point. But, yeah, it's just disappointing, guys, all around. I didn't see anything else other than that as far as social media goes. So send it my way at 600 ESPN El Paso if you see something on your end. 915-505-6009. Paul Reynoso with a one-and-done comment on Twitter and X as well. Louisiana Tech defeats UTEP 76-58. If you want to talk about it, let's do it. 915-505-6009. Miners finished the season 17-14 overall, and then in conference play it's 7-11. So this team really fell down after starting 15-5. Milkman is next up with us, 915-505-6009. Milkman, what happened to this team?
Oh my God, what a collapse! Like, hey, I mean, everybody said it. I mean, God, I can't even think of a worse collapse, especially as high as the hopes were earlier in the season. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it, you know, God rest his soul, but it feels like, you know, right at the end of Dana Dimmel's, turn in football. It just, I don't know what to say. I mean, clearly he's lost them. There's something has gone on in the locker room that I don't think any of us know exactly what yet. Maybe we'll find out, but it seems to me that this collapse started right around the time that he started benching Bynum. Am I correct in that assessment?
You know, I'd like to go back on the game-by-game numbers. The first time around, or I'd say the road game against New Mexico State, that was the one that Bynum didn't play. So that's the one where he got the DNP.
Okay. Well, I don't know what it is. Something has gone haywire. Of course, none of us have the answer because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But, I mean, there's really – when you have a situation like that, there's really nothing else you can point to except the coach. And I like Golding. I think, you know, I don't know. I clearly maybe it's just not the right fit now. I really can't put my finger on it. But they're just not showing up. And y'all made a point earlier about defensively. We could always count on our defense at least when we weren't shooting well. We don't have that now. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there is nothing you can point to on the team that, you know, they're doing that's any good. I just don't know. I mean, it really sucks when, you know, after football we have to go, oh, well, you know, thank God basketball's coming up. We're a basketball school, folks. I mean, we all know this, and it doesn't seem like that right now because there's been such a drought. But, God, man, growing up as a minor fan, I mean, you could always count on basketball to at least be good, you know, and we're just not right now. I don't know what else to say. I guess if we had the magic bullet or what would help this team, well, you know, they'd be doing it. But I don't know, guys. What are y'all thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking that I'm at a loss, just like you, Milkman. I feel like going into the conference tournament, they couldn't have less momentum, probably less motivation in the tournament as well. I feel like, you know, you at some point all the talk has to materialize into something, and I don't hear as good as I see. I need to see it on the floor. I need to see this team prove it. I hear it all. I hear all the excitement. I hear the fact that this team doesn't want to quit. I hear that they're together. I hear all of that, but I need to see it on the floor for 40 minutes, and I need to see it translate to wins, because right now it hasn't, and they're far from that.
Well, and then the whole, like, the whole 10-33 thing, you know, like, oh, man, they're going to be inspired. You know, they're going to come out this season with that whole 10-33 ready, especially against Western Kentucky. But as we saw, that was absolutely not the case. And so who do you point to for that? There's really only one place you can point, and that's the coach. I mean, you know, perhaps maybe the players, you know, were not inspired as he had hoped they would be. You know, maybe that's their fault. But in the end, it's still on the coach, you know?
I hear what you're saying, man. I hear you, man. Milkman, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Just frustration from fans, and I completely understand that here on the program as we continue. Guys, I think we're nearing the finish line. I think we've burned through all the tweets. It's a lot of vitriol, a lot of mad fans right now. I just don't think anybody has an explanation as to what happened for over the last month plus with this squad. And and seven in a row, seven straight losses for this team. It just looks bad all around. So I don't know how they get over this hump. I think they're just having. I think they have to hit the hit the reset once they get to the off season and really try to retool this roster for the future. Another thing to note. You know, everybody's comparing New Mexico State to UTEP. How about the fact that New Mexico State, Zay, they go on the road and they defeat a team in Sam Houston. And for them, it's just kind of what you're supposed to do, beat a bad team on the road despite what ended up happening. Actually, they lost. I'm sorry. I take it back. They lost. It was 76-69, and the Aggies finish with a 10-8 CUSA record. Same record overall as the Miners, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because after UTEP beat New Mexico State, you know, you kind of hoped that those teams would go, at least if you're a UTEP fan, would go in different directions, right? New Mexico State would start spiraling out, and UTEP would catch fire, right? They'd use that win to kind of catapult them back to where, you know, they know they should be. But it's kind of been the opposite, right? After that loss, New Mexico State has kind of gone on a roll. And, yes, they lost tonight to Sam Houston State, but that's an emotional game, right? Hooten goes home. Sam Houston State, you know, they just lost their coach. And I guess not just lost. They lost him 2 years ago. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be an emotional game. And we know Sam Houston State's a good team, so I don't want to make excuses for them losing. But they're better than UTEP right now, right? They're going into the conference tournament with more momentum, even though they lost today. And that's by a lot better than UTEP. So it's disappointing. You know, it's disappointing if you're a UTEP fan.
Just to look at the CUSA tournament, Sal, Jacksonville State's on the other side. They will play the winner of Western Kentucky FIU. And I couldn't tell you how much, losing today and not getting a chance to be the seventh seed, Sal, is such a big loss. I mean, the fact that it was Middle Tennessee La Tech who's playing on the opposite side of that. Whoever wins that one, I feel like the Miners could, you know, compete against them. So if the Miners were in the seventh seed, they would play Florida International on Tuesday. They beat them. They would have to go up against Jacksonville State on Wednesday. I think that's a doable game in the tournament. And then in this hypothetical world, Sal, you'd have to play the winner of Middle Tennessee La Tech, two teams that I find beatable. And for the Miners, they beat La Tech earlier this year. So I felt like that would have been such a better path compared to the path that they're on against Sam Houston and then having to play against Liberty after that.
Yeah, and I think the obvious thing to say is, hey, winner gets Liberty. So congratulations. It's like two mice fighting in a tank. And, you know, the Cobra's like, all right, whatever mouse kills the other one, I'm going to eat the champion, right? It's easy to say that, but you got to go up against a mouse that's tough right now. Sam Houston, yeah, they've been turning it up these last couple of weeks. So they're one spot below the Miners in the standings, but we saw what happened the last time these two teams played, and also what Wilkerson can do when he's scorching hot. So that's a tough matchup as well. It's not so much if you win, you get Liberty. You still got to get by a really, I don't want to say a good Sam Houston team. I'm not going to go that far, but a team that's playing a lot better than the Miners have been.
Zay, what are your thoughts on the bracket?
At the end of the day, I would have liked to see UTEP playing on the other side of the bracket with Jacksonville State and Middle Tennessee. I said it before, you know, I don't believe in Jacksonville State or Kennesaw State, and I don't know.
That's why I think NMSU could beat Kennesaw.
And I think That's bad for UTEP. I don't want to see New Mexico State. It's a rivalry in a conference tournament. Anything could happen. So I'd rather see Kennesaw State if you beat Liberty and if you beat Sam Houston. I just would have thought, hey, if you could have gone on the other side of that bracket playing FIU and then playing Jacksonville State and then playing the winner of Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, like, that's not that bad versus you got to play Sam Houston State, who just beat you. Liberty, who we know that's a bit of a rivalry, and then one of, you know, New Mexico State or Kennesaw State, two teams that, you know, you've struggled with.
What a hard road, George. What that road seems almost insurmountable.
Yeah, at this point, it's just a lot to overcome, right? But does it even matter? You know, I guess the matchups, even if we're going to be getting ahead of ourselves talking about paths to the championship game, it's the tournament, and everybody's going to be playing hard, right, and playing to win, and you're going to be getting everybody's best game and every, you know, night in and night out. So I feel like if UTEP's serious about trying to turn this thing around, although albeit it's probably a moot point, my message would be it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let's go back to the phones, 915-505-6009. George is next with us. George, welcome aboard. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Okay, guys, several things that I've noticed throughout this I guess, free fall to the bottom of conference play. I haven't seen any hustle from this team. I haven't seen any like Zay was saying, there's no going after the ball. The defense, which has been a staple of this team, is gone. I don't see anybody really hustling for anything. I think the writing's on the wall. I mean, they could do some soul searching and maybe beat Sam Houston, but aside from that, going up against somebody else, I don't think this team has it in them. I don't know where Golding lost this team, but it's unfortunate because they had a special thing going into conference play. They started off hot, and then they just fizzled out. Something happened in that locker room. We don't know what it is. We can speculate. But in all honesty, it's a clean slate. Anything can happen. I mean, all I can say is balls out, and you've got nothing to lose, and just go out and play. Go out and do what your mama taught you, or, you know, just go out and play, man. I mean, because that's basically, they have nothing to lose, nothing, but to win and play as a team. Because I've also haven't seen that from them at all.
Right. I agree with that completely. I feel like they just need to kind of figure out how to get back to their own style of playing together. And that it feels like that just hasn't happened, despite them saying that they're all together in the locker room.
You know, and going to Ahmad Bynum, you know, whether he is a cancer or there is an issue, they need to put it aside. And if they want to collectively go on and move on to in conference tournament, they're going to have to put their differences aside. And for the good of the team and for the good of the university, they have to if they want to. That's if they want to. If they want to dance and they want to turn their narrative, they're going to have to. They're going to, plain and simple. Regardless of what issues is going on, they have to put everything aside and start playing ball. They need to play UTEP minor ball and get inspired. You know, plain and simple.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
That's just it.
I'm with you on that completely there, George. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Yeah, on the Bynum side of things, I also think, you know, it's on his side too, right? Like, you can't be Golding saying, hey, I want to work with you. And then Bynum's got to also say, all right, coach, I'm going to work with you as well. So it's got to go. It's a two-way street on that. If that's the case, if, you know, we're all speculating over here. We're trying to read between the lines and all that kind of stuff. So there you go. Joe Chacon with a Salmontes shout-out. Funny you guys start the show with Al Green, and Al Green destroyed us today on the court. Fitting, you should end the show with another Al Green song for the good times. Hashtag in-laws saw an ugly one to start their spring break visit. Hashtag time to break out the wine and beer. Hashtag salud.
I love it, man. You know what? I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to go even further now. So
okay.
I got the song loaded up. I saw the tweet, so we got you, Joe. But I was kind of like, should I play the song Tired of Being Alone because he was just out there with nobody around him when he was shooting? Or should I play the song Here I Am, Come and Take Me, because who's going to go guard him, right?
Oh.
So I didn't know. But now, because of the request, we'll do it, man, for the good times. Yeah.
Al Green, 6-for-7 from beyond the arc, 20 points today. He should be our win supply El Paso hot hand of the game, but we're still giving it to a UTEP player. We're going to give it to KJ Thomas, true freshman today. He had 22 points, 4-for-4, 12 points overall, one assist, one turnover, and one rebound over the 22 minutes off the bench. KJ Thomas, the Amarillo High kid, he is our hot hand of the game. Hey, you could stay on schedule with Win Supply El Paso. See why home builders make Win Supply El Paso their trusted HVAC system custom supplier. Check out their website online, windsupplyelpaso.com. Click the Find a Dealer tab and learn more online at windsupplyelpaso.com. Guys, the dust and all the weather is just awful here in El Paso. So this is kind of that time of year where it's a perfect time to check out the maintenance side of things with Wind Supply El Paso. Check out the Find a Dealer tab. But Sal, we got to get out of these roads, man, and stay home tonight because it is ugly. Yeah. My allergies are getting the best of me right now.
No, it's been kicking my butt too. And yesterday, which was day number two of like a really, really bad storm. There have been some storms, but yesterday was a beast. And
yeah,
we put our son to sleep. And next thing I know, worst thing happens, Adrian. I have to sneeze right when my son falls asleep.
Oh, no.
So terrible. But I got the pillow in place. I was able to, to, you know.
Like, sneeze in the pillow?
Yeah, potato on the barrel kind of effect. So, yeah, man, we're able to not have me wake him up. But, no, man, you can smell it all through the house, and the insulation's not too bad.
It's so terrible. It's terrible. Goodness, man. We're all dusty at our home. Zay, are you even running track right now, Zay, based on this weather?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I had track meet, and
that was crazy.
It was really windy. Thankfully, it was started early in the morning. The mornings have been relatively calm compared to what you're gonna like what we've seen around 2 o'clock. So as soon as the dust storm hit and everything, they rolled over the rest of the events to today. So today was a little nicer. Still windy, but it was a little nicer. Not as dusty, but it's been rough trying to practice and running in the wind.
Yeah,
you know, not only the allergies, but just I hate running in the wind. Like, who wants to run against wind? It makes you slower. It slows you down by, like, a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of all the spring sports we have in town. It's baseball. It's softball. It's beach volleyball. It's track and field. It's all those outdoor sports that you're talking about. Throwing golf. Throwing, you know, all those other sports. You know, paddle, tennis, all those kinds of things. Yeah, it's awful when we get those wins. George, take us home, man. Where are you at with this basketball squad? We are back in action Tuesday here on 600 ESPN El Paso. So, where are you at right now?
Back in action. Tuesday, my God, will somebody just, I mean, like who was that caller that just called? Just leave it, set all this stuff aside, all this baggage aside, and just go play ball, right? Just go, somebody, keep your man in front of you, make the right rotations, make the right passes. Steve with the great stat about, you know, this one-on-one ball that has, what was it? It was almost double the turnovers.
Yeah, 26 turnovers, yeah, 10 assists.
Almost 3-1 there in favor of the turnovers. Terrible. I mean, just let all this stuff go. One last shot. I mean, your backs are against the wall. That's the attitude.
Tuesday, we'll have the countdown to tip off probably right around 4 o'clock, and then the game itself will tip off at 4:30 local time. We'll have Minor Talk after the game presented by Jack in the Box. By the way, big shout out to Jack in the Box. They're open 365 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. They've got 15 locations. Check out Jack in the Box, your perfect spot before and after every game. Zay, let's get some final thoughts from you. Going into the CUSA tournament, where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need someone to step up, right? Someone's going to need to take a leadership a role, because it's just embarrassing. And you know, it's easy to say put away that baggage, but I mean, when you don't like somebody or when somebody did a certain thing, you can't just forget about it, right? And maybe we don't know what's going on, but I mean, if that's the case, it's hard to just forget about it. And if they're still acting that way, 20 times harder, right? You can't just tell somebody stop it. And all of a sudden it's going to stop. I mean, it's tough. So, you know, only 14 minutes for David Terrell. I know they said they're trying to rest him, but you see what happens when David Terrell is not on the court, right? You get those really, really bad offensive possessions, 3 total assists. Like, that's the stat that Steve gave. I mean, that's what's going to happen when David Terrell's on the court, right? This team is not going to be able to move the ball well. 12 turnovers is just unacceptable when you're only forcing 16, you know, Louisiana Tech turnovers, which is a lot,
right?
But it's not a lot for UTEP, and it's not a lot to overcome, you know, getting out rebounded by 11 and giving up 76 points. So something needs to change, and if it doesn't, then we're looking at it terribly disappointing UTEP season.
Yeah,
to an end.
If they're one and done, it's really disappointing. Let's just say it that way too, because if this team ends up being one and done when it's all said and done, that would be really, really bad. But guys, I think that's going to do it for us here on the program today. We really, really appreciate everybody joining us here on Minor Talk throughout the show. And Sal, I think they win on Tuesday when it's all said and done, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised if they're one and done when it's all said and done.
I don't know, man. I don't know if they they could get past Sam Houston, who's playing a lot better than the Miners are. I'll put it like this. If the game is within the balance, it's a one or two possession game, 2 minutes left, do you trust UTEP to close it out, given what you've seen the last 3-4 weeks?
Against Sam Houston, no.
Against Western Kentucky?
No.
Against Middle Tennessee, right? So I just can't, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't either. So, let's see what happens. I can't see a run. I could see them getting out of Tuesday. They should get out of Tuesday. My expectations are you beat teams who are still bad. And I'd say that's the case for Sam Houston. But at the same time, if you look in the mirror, you know, UTEP is what they are right now. So they are a 7-11 team out of CUSA. And that, at some point, you just have to look in the mirror and realize, yeah, that's your record right there.
I'll say this. There's not much pressure on them going into this tournament.
True.
You know?
So expectations
you
are
use
low.
That. Yeah, like, hey, there's not as many eyes on us, you know, expecting certain things anymore. So Ronnie said it best last week. They're playing with house money.
True. Hey, I appreciate everybody joining us here on the show. If you missed anything, check us out on demand wherever you listen to Miner Talk on our podcast channel. Special thanks to Zay Galindo, to George Ojardo, and as always, Sal Montes. I'm Adrian Broaddus for signing off and saying thank you for listening to Miner Talk, presented by Jack in Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Don't look so sad. I know it's over. But life goes on. And this world keeps on turning. Let's just be glad.